breath that you draw, I heard that, came from God. It's a gift from God. Everything is a gift from God. And we need to keep that in mind with everything that we have. And so it's kind of a discipline to remind us and to give thanks to God. So it's kind of a cool thing. And we're going to talk about that. We're not going to browbeat you, but it's something we almost never talk about here at City's Edge, is your own finances. You know, like they say, you might have gotten saved, but did your wallet get saved? It's kind of important to know. We have always, always, always taken an offering. Well, not taken an offering. What we have here, keep hitting me on the toes. Step on your heads. Oh, come on. Anyway, this could get ugly really fast. Probably they're going to tie my shoelaces together and I'm going to trip and fall and hurt myself. But we've always had a box in the back and we've never made a big deal out of money or giving here. And another thing you need to know is I have never really known who gives what. That's what he says. Well, I know what our family gives, but I don't know who gives what. And it's going to stay that way. And we're not going to start taking offerings ever, either, because there's a reason for it. But we want to make it an act of worship that we can celebrate together. All right, having said that, what we're going to do is just pray. We don't even have a scripture in particular to read, but you probably have some that you've given him. So, yeah, there's all kinds of good scriptures there. And so we're going to start with a word of prayer, and then we're going to bring Brian and Stacy up to talk with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you that you are a good God and that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. You've given us everything that we've needed throughout our lives. Lord, thank you for your provision. Thank you for this community that comes together and helps each other with their needs. We've been grateful for that, Lord. And we not only have all we need, we have most of what we want. So we've really been blessed. We thank you for that. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and you gave your all for us. And help us to remember that as we worship every day, and especially on Sundays here at City's Edge. We thank you for that, Heavenly Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. Listen to Mary.
You need to preach. Sorry, to teach the kids. Okay, in that case, I will. What's that? Okay. So I will have to use the.
Good morning. Everybody hear me okay? All right. I have to use these when I'm reading, so sorry. Sorry for the less than stellar, exciting title. It's really creative. Static. Do I need to pull away?
Yeah,
from
you
my
need
face?
To not mess with it. Just leave it. Leave it on your phone. Yeah,
hands
just leave up. It alone.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you go. All right. Sorry. I was tired last night when I did this, and that's all I could come up with. So Stacy and I are not financial experts by any stretch. Sorry about this. But God, should I have shaved or what?
What's that? I'm going to switch the batteries up, but keep talking. Don't.
All right. How about this?
Nope, that's not
going to
help.
Sorry. I'm new at this. So we're not financial experts. God has taught us a few things over the years.
If you face this way, it'll be better.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, you put it in your pocket. Okay.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Do this while you're talking.
But God's taught us a few things over the years about money and money management, and has certainly stretched my faith a bit at times. And, you know, money is one of the hardest things that we can trust God with, right? I mean, it's just one of the hardest things. But as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we learn that we can trust Him. And we can trust Him with all things, like Dan was saying earlier.
Might be bad, but hopefully not.
If we can just go to a handheld if we need to.
Yeah, we might have to, but keep going.
Right. So, at the end of the day, we know that we can't control anything.
Including the sound.
I'm ready to go handheld.
Yeah, I'm ready to give you a hand.
All right.
I don't mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, my mic is on.
Thank you for all the suggestions. I got it.
Do I just push this button? Yeah. All right. Thank you. This better?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Eat it.
May not be all the way on.
Are we there?
Yeah.
We there? All right, good. Okay, so at the end of the day, we know that we can't control anything. God's the one that's in control. So what I thought I'd do is do a little recap from a few months ago back at retreat, because most of us, I think, were there. If you could go to the next slide.
Sure.
You will recognize, hopefully you'll recognize this next slide that comes up any second.
Okay.
Everybody remember that one? From one of Beth's talks. So if you were at the retreat, Beth talked about money and giving. And one of the things, some of the things she said about money is that we can tend to worry a lot about it. It holds our emotion. And we tend to look to money for our security and pleasure. Next slide. Then she talked about perspectives on money. And perspective one was, it's all mine. And if you've got a big pile, that big pile of money can lead to pride. But if you have a little pile, it can lead to anxiety and shame. But the next perspective, with the next one, is okay. I've got my pile, and then God gets His pile. But God's got a little one. I've got a big, but at least I'm giving a little bit to God, right? And she shared, on average, and I looked this up myself, but on average, the average Christian gives about $17 a week to their local church, and that works out to be about $74 a month. So compared to my And compared to your big pile, God still gets a little pile. But then, go to the next slide. This is where it's at, is recognizing that it's all God's money. He's the one that gives us the ability to have jobs, the opportunities we've had. And when we can take on this perspective, a lot changes. Next slide. So she shared this verse, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything is in it. Go to the next one. I'm kind of trying to get through this. I've timed myself. I can get through this in about 12 minutes, and then Stacy gets up here, so that's why I'm kind of rolling through here. So she went through these seven things. First, our role changes. We go from consumer to steward, recognizing that it's God's money and we are the ones managing it for Him. She shared out of Deuteronomy 8, this is verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Our questions change. Instead of how do I make more money for my own purposes, it goes to how can I give. How can I be generous with the money that God gives me? Our perspective changes. We start to see the way that Jesus sees things. Our spending changes, less focus on what I want, and more focus on the things that have eternal value. Our giving changes, and that really starts with a habit, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Our prayer changes. She talked about the challenge of praying about money when we know we haven't been obedient with the money that we've gotten. And then last, our heart changes. Our our love and our trust in God increases, our faith increases, we gain a fresh dependence on God for provision and direction. And she shared out of Luke 21, this is verses 1 through 3, where Peter and Jesus are watching the widow put her 2 coins in the offering, and Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has." I think that's pretty convicting. Next slide. And you will remember this one. The point that there's the unbreakable connection between our heart and our money. Next slide. I like this passage out of Matthew. "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." So it's very easy for us to get sidetracked about all things related to money. Like, how am I going to pay my bills? What about the things I want? But this passage teaches that there are things that really matter, that have eternal value. And what goes on here every week, that's has eternal value. Next slide. And this is the classic, Russ, you're welcome, the classic verse on tithing. Because Beth did a great job at the retreat talking about tithing and what it means. And in the Old Testament, you know, there's a lot of scripture that talk about giving a tenth, giving a 10% of whatever the income was that people were bringing in. And as you know, as Dan said earlier, he doesn't put any pressure on the church to give. The box is in the back that's available. But, it's about deciding to give a portion of what God already gives us to give back to Him. And so you might be twisting about 10%, can I do that? But hang on, let's go to the next slide. And we'll talk about, okay, what's the New Testament say about giving? So Paul, to the Corinthians, he said in verse 2, this is a pretty packed verse, "On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once." So the idea here is it's a regular thing. And tithing is a regular thing. And whether it's weekly, whether it's monthly, it's an ongoing, it's not a one-and-done sort of thing. And it's setting aside, literally setting aside, a portion of what you earn. And so, what's your portion? Next slide. If you're wondering, if you're trying to decide, you can always ask God. And that is what we do and what I would encourage everyone to do. Next slide. So this is a pretty packed passage as well, another out of Corinthians. "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure like I'm giving you now. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need." Generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Next slide. So why do we give at church? Well, first, the pastor needs to be paid. It's his job. That's right. It's his job. And, we can't do church. We can't do this without having to pay bills. The heat, the lights, all the typical things that there are in a building. And then the church doesn't sell widgets. We don't sell anything. It's the only income the church gets is through the giving here. Not everybody understood that. I know. So we are the ones that bring the income to the church. Next slide. So here's the reality. We shared a little of this the last time I was up here. So here's the story for 2022. We had $158,000 in change in expenses, only $142,000 in change in giving, so there's a deficit of $15,000. And that, if you average that out, it's about a little over $1,300 a month. But I will tell you, looking at the reports that Kathy can produce, that the months go up and down, and many months were upwards of $7,000 or more in the negative. So what Kathy has to do is dip into savings to cover the monthly expenses. And that's not the entire story. So let's go to the next slide. So here's other parts of reality. Dan deserves a raise. He really does. You can Google this. You know, what's the average pastors make in Oregon or in this area? And I will say Dan is probably on the lower end of that. And I think Dan's above average. hopefully y'all agree. Yeah.
Barely.
So that's a big one. And then we know our leases go up every year. And 5 or 6%, something like that?
Yeah.
Seems like? Yeah. So we've got that, and then we've talked. People have made comment about, what about our own building? Will we have our own building someday? Well, if we're having to dip into savings to pay the monthly bills, that's really not going to happen. So let's see. You know, at this point, I think we're going to have a business meeting after church, and we'll talk more about this. At this point, I'm going to bring up my lovely bride, who will probably be way more entertaining than I have been. So, thanks for listening.
We're big Dave Ramsey fans, and he says that in every relationship there's a nerd and a free spirit. I guess you know who you're getting now. We made it through the nerd portion of today's sermon. I am the free spirit in our relationship, and it does take both, I think, in a relationship. Brian does an excellent job of managing our finances, and I do an excellent job of not screwing it up. And so we work well together. But this is also going to be a plug in a few minutes for the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace course, so we'll get to that in a sec. But I just wanted to say a couple things about giving, because I too have learned over the years to really trust in the Lord. And we have to really fight against the lies of the enemy that says that our resources are scarce, because we do have access to the resources of heaven. And that doesn't mean that we should live carelessly or not attend to our money, but we do know that we have an abundance from our Father, and we need to give like that. So I wanted to share just a couple of times in my life where I saw God's goodness specifically related to giving. When I was going through my divorce, I was living alone, obviously, and it was hard to make ends meet. I was really struggling. And I had a particular weekend where I was just really bummed out. I didn't have any money. And I remember specifically not going to the mailbox that weekend because I was sure there would be bills, and I just couldn't. I was like, I can't deal with this right now. I'm just not going to get the mail. And when I was reminding Brian of this weekend, he's like, oh, I remember that weekend because we talked on the phone and you were really stressed out. And I think part of the reason why I was stressed out is because there were like some new shoes that I wanted to get or I needed. I don't remember. But I just remember angsting all weekend. And finally, Monday rolled around, and I thought, all right, I'll go check the mailbox. So I trudge out to the mailbox, and I open it up, and there was a letter in there from my brother. And my brother doesn't write to me. I opened it up, and he had sent me a substantial-ish size of money with a note that said that he felt like God wanted him to give me his tithe, he tithed, and he said, I feel like you need this more than my church does this month. And I just felt like, I mean, I felt so blessed and so humbled and also so dumb, because I could have had an amazing weekend and bought my kids clothes or whatever it was that we needed. It was, I remember it particularly in Phoenix, it gets, you know, cool there in the fall, and I didn't have money for some winter clothes for my kids. They still had shorts and stuff, and they'd outgrown their clothes from the year before. So I was, that was one of my stressors. But it was so awesome to just see God deliver in that way. And I don't even know if I had asked him to or not. It was just a blessing that he gave me. And I remember also reading at that time in my life the passage in Matthew about how he cares for the birds of the field. And of course he cares for you too. And I have many examples of that period of my life where he really came through. I also think it's kind of fun that give take is happening right now, because when we're coming from a position of scarcity, sometimes it's really hard to give things away. I found even as I was gathering up things for give take, there was like this tiny little irrational fear, like, well, as soon as you give that away, you know you're gonna need it. You're gonna want it back. So don't give it, just hold on to it. And I thought, good grief, no, like I haven't used this in 6 months. It needs to go. But I think that it's also very reflective of the society in which we live, this hoard your things, hold on to things. You never know when you're gonna need it. And God wants us to live like we are living out of his abundance, and that he is covering those needs for us. So in the early years of our marriage, we were very, very broke when we first got married. Brian was still paying spousal support and child support. And just for the record, to this day, I still don't know anybody that had to pay more spousal support and child support than he did. And so we were really scraping by, but the church we were going to at the time, the pastor had talked about the importance of tithing off of your gross income. And I remember we were both like, oh, interesting. And Brian and I were talking about it on our way home. And I said, well, I think we should. He said, I don't think we should. I don't think we have the money. We can't afford that. I'm like, honey, it's not God's fault the government takes their cut first. Like, he says to bring in your portion from the field or whatever. So I think we need to start giving off of our gross income. So I remember we had a couple conversations about it. And he said, all right, I'm going to try it. So the next month, he adjusted our tithe in consideration of our gross income. And how much did we feel it?
Didn't.
At all, right? Like, we didn't feel it. It didn't mean that we went without something. I don't want to say it's magic, but sometimes it feels like that. When you give faithfully from a position of trusting in God, he just makes it happen. And so that was one of the cool things that happened early on in our giving. Another time, I quit my job. I was really burned out, and I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I tried starting my own business. And again, I'm going to say, you don't do things irresponsibly. We had money and savings. And Brian said, when we get to October, if you're not making X amount of money bringing this in with your business, you need to go get a job. Okay, fair enough. We got to October. We had just about depleted all of our savings, and I ended up getting a job with the agency that I'm with now, and it has been like a huge blessing. I've got an amazing career through my employer, and we didn't run out of money. God made the ends, he made ends meet. And I know for Brian in particular, that was a really big deal for him, because he could see in that example how faithful God was. Okay, so I believe money management as Christians is a combination of faith and good money habits, and that brings me to Dave Ramsey. So I have taken the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University course a minimum of 3, but possibly 4 times. I've lost count. I love the course. It is very solid Bible-based instruction in how to manage money. And I am encouraging everyone in here, I don't know if we'll get that or not, but I'm encouraging everybody in here to do it. Brian and I have offered to facilitate one of the classes, and we're in the process of finding a space separate from the church where we can meet on Sunday morning before church to do that. So for folks who travel from out of the area, you won't have to make an extra trip. You could just come in a little bit early. We'll meet probably at around 9 o'clock, and we also have the opportunity to scholarship people. So The cost of the course is roughly $80, but if you complete the course successfully and attend all the required classes, you'll actually get your money back. So it's not going to cost you anything at the end of the course if you would like to do that. I will say that when I took this class for the first time, it was when I was married to my first husband, and we were always chronically broke. And for the first time in our marriage, after we completed the course, we weren't. We actually had the $1,000 of an emergency fund. We were living in within a budget where we weren't going into debt to do that. Let's see, when we talked with Beth about this, she says that anybody that is in the 20 to 30 year old range, you are required to take this course, just letting you know. It is recommended for everybody else. One of the reasons why I especially recommend it for the 20 to 30 years old is because it literally will set your life, it will change the trajectory of your life, because it will keep you from getting into debt, and you will literally live with financial peace. It also, I really feel, it counters the messages of the world, particularly around debt, that debt is normal, we all have debt, et cetera, et cetera. Dave says, you know, the Bible says that you are not to be a borrower or a lender. And so he, using his budgeting practices, which are very practical and easy to follow, unlike the extensive spreadsheets that I deal with at home, Berean, it is a very doable class. And so I'm actually really looking forward to taking it again. It's been probably 5 or 6 years since we last took it. We took it with Gage when he graduated from high school. And I think it's going to be fun, because I think you could learn something from it no matter where you're at in your walk or your journey or your age. It'll be different for us this time because when we've taken it in the past, I always had a pretty extensive student loans, and we have since been able to pay those off. And so we're just in a different spot in our journey, and I'm excited to remember the things that he has to say about what comes next in his baby steps. Let's see. Lastly, I just want to say that accountability is really important. You know, one of our formal or informal mantras here is, what is it? Like, we're up in your business? Something like that? We make it personal.
We're up in your business.
You should invite people to be in your business with your money in particular. It's important to have accountability. Right? You know, when you're in a married relationship, you can have a certain degree of accountability. Sometimes you need external accountability too, though. There's times when I'll ask Brian if I can buy something and be like, sure, I don't care. I'm like, that's not really what I'm asking. Like, you're supposed to say no because it's not in the budget. I'm looking for a boundary, man. But we also have somebody that we've been working with as a financial partner, and he's a guy who's one of the Dave Ramsey endorsed providers. He's been great for us just to sit down with. And there's been times over the years where we've sat down with other people and wanted people to look at our budget to ask us hard questions. Gosh, why are you spending so much money on that? I remember earlier in our marriage, or a number of years ago, we had a finance guy looked at our budget, and he said, you realize you are literally eating your retirement and the amount you spend on groceries, right? No, I hadn't thought of it that way. I just thought I was really hungry. I don't know. So that helped. Again, just having that third-party perspective can sometimes be really helpful, and that is a part of Financial Peace University, is helping people get systems of accountability. I think that's all I got. Mr. Bannum?
Yeah.
And we'll do the t-shirts with We're Up in Your Business.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
That's our new slogan, We're Up in Your Business. Because that's not invasive, right? There are a couple things that I wanted to mention here. There's a reason why we don't take an offering, and I don't know whether it's good or bad. It comes from me and my own experience in churches where I felt like, you know, I was just a wallet and a bottom sitting in a seat, and that was all that counted, was my money and, you know, my presence. They didn't really care about me, and I don't ever want to convey that to anyone here. I'm glad you're here. Again, that's why I don't know what you give or if you give or anything like that. And I want to keep it that way because I don't want to start judging you and going, oh, okay, she's blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't want to do that. And you don't want me to do that. And I probably wouldn't do that, but I just don't trust myself. So I'm not going to do that. And that's why the tithe box is in the back. The second thing I want to emphasize is that the whole idea of the act of worship, and that's the one thing I kind of wrestled with all week. I was at a pastor's conference this week with Beth, and we talked about, you know, of course, everybody's tight on money right now, it seems like. And we talked about giving as an act of worship. And I go, well, it is, but then how do we do that when the box is at the back? But then I don't like the pass the plate thing because that just feels like pressure. And it feels like, oh, the church is always in a financial crisis. And it's not. We've, in the past, we've done quite well. It's that things are tight, and I recognize that. So I'm trying to figure out a way to make it more of a corporate worship thing, the giving. And I don't know how to do that exactly, except that maybe to say something or maybe do a prayer each Sunday and thank God for the blessings that He's given us and maybe try to include that. Two final things here. What we do in our family when we're talking about a pastor's raise, of course, I'm down with that. My wife is especially down with that. But what we've tried to do from the beginning at City's Edge as pastors here is try to keep our income to a minimum. And there's a couple reasons for that. We've tried to stay at the very low end. I have. I don't know if my wife's been on board entirely. And the reason is I don't want to make a big footprint. I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. I want to make sure that that we are exercising good stewardship of everything, because I recognize that I would not have a job if it weren't for your giving and your kindness and your generosity. I would not be here, and I'm grateful to have had this for 26 years. It kind of seems crazy. So that brings me to my final point. I'm going to say this, Beth, and you're going to... No, she's going to be okay with it. If everybody's obediently giving, which is a possibility, I'm okay with that. If everybody's giving, you know, regularly and they're giving to their maximum, that's a possibility. I recognize that. And I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm okay with whatever changes that requires us to do, because that could be the Lord just leading us to say we got to do something different. And it's been a really good run for me here for 26 years, and if it's time for me to do something different, even at age 64, I will. That could be okay. I don't have a problem with that. And I still will pastor here. So you get that? You know, that's what's going to happen. I'll just do a worse job. You're okay. Yeah. I'll just start mailing it in. But I'll still pastor here. Yeah, I just want to let you know that we're not saying we're going to try to get blood from a turnip. Because if you're all giving the best that you can, then... You know, I'm grateful for that. And I am absolutely grateful for your generosity over the years. It's been amazing, and it is amazing. And I'm trusting that we can just keep going and even expand. Wouldn't that be great? Do bigger things? That would be amazing. So that's really pretty much all I have to say about everything. Is that everything I have to say? Is there anything I need to add, Beth? Am I missing anything? No? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to have an all-church business meeting, and I want to let you know that all-church business meetings are fun, which is weird here. But we do. I don't know. I've never had one that was boring here. I've never had one that was stupid. Yeah, we actually come up with some cool ideas like water slide baptisms. We came up with that idea at a business meeting. So still, that's on the... It's on the table. We're still thinking about it. We've got to work some plans. That we've done.
Water balloon baptism. That's
yeah. Cool. So I'm going to give you, if you want to take off or whatever, we're going to take about 6 minutes, and we'll be back here by that clock at 11:30.
Yep.
By real time at 12. Yeah. At 12:30. We have a question. Oh, the questions. I can take questions.
Were we going to pray for
Yes,
Kent?
Let's do that. Let's pray for Kent today, because actually today is Karen's birthday, which is really cool, and we forgot to sing it, but She wasn't here, so it's no point in embarrassing her if she's not here.
Right.
But let's in prayer, let's remember to, I'll close and remember to pray for Karen, Kent, who's not doing super well, and he's trying to recover. And here we go, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this group of people. They've been just a huge blessing to me. They've been my friends. They are my friends. They continue to be. And Lord, thank you for the fellowship that we have, which is real fellowship. You know, we really rely on each other and encourage each other in our faith. Lord, I pray that that will continue. I'm open to whatever you want to do here, God. And I just trust that we will all be open to whatever you want to do. Thank you for meeting all of our needs. Thank you for being, as Stacy put it, a God of abundance, that we have all the resources of heaven. And we kind of forget that when we shut that off. I do when I am not generous with your money. So help us to be stewards of what you give, even in all the small things, Lord. Lord, we lift up Kent this morning. We just ask for healing. Lord, there are many here in this church who are suffering with some physical problem. That is not okay. We're not cool with that, Lord. We would love you to heal Kent. We'd love you to heal the rest of us here who have been dealing with physical trauma, physical issues for some time, Lord. We're asking that you will do that. We're asking that you will continue to reclaim areas that the enemy has taken from us. And especially today in the area of finances, Lord, that you would set our hearts straight and help us to see the things that you give us as yours. Thank you for these dear people, Lord, and I pray for healing and victory in their lives, spiritually above all else, because everything stems from that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you got about 6 minutes. We'll make it 12:32. And then we'll convene.
Oh,
for
the kids' box,
that was fabulous.